It's hard to see yourself represented on the silver screen. In a world with less available roles to us, this industry can be so mean. So we're gonna make some changes in this town. Turn the male-driven media upside down. There's nothing that a woman can't do. So act like a girl, we're here to support you.
Welcome back to the Act Like a Girl podcast, everyone. You have Susie Dunn.
And Tracy Walker.
And we are here with...
Caitlin Durante.
And Jamie Loftus.
And they run the...
Bechdelcast.
You guys, you did it. I'm so proud of you.
That was great unison.
That was just the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should have tried to make like a dissonant chord. Yeah.
Bechdelcast.
Yeah. Oh my god, I love it. Okay, so where are you each from?
After you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. I'm the eldest, so I'll go first. I grew up in rural Western Pennsylvania. Don't recommend it. It sucks. I left and went to film school. And then I would later go to film school again, and that's when I met Jamie. I went to school in Pennsylvania, moved to New York, lived there for a year, then moved to Boston because I was like, oh, New York sucks. Sorry, everyone who lives there, but I don't like living there.
I agree.
Unless you're rich.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
Unless you have money.
Come on now.
It's
so much easier to be poor out here.
Yes. For sure.
It is.
Yeah. It's so much easier
it's
to be poor.
It's sometimes even fun to be poor.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can
figure
it
out. You
can still have a life and be poor.
You can figure it out.
Yeah.
In New York?
No.
No.
You are. Yeah. You're like, I can't even get anywhere because a subway pass is like $100 or more.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, don't live in New York or Western Pennsylvania. But then I moved to Boston and had been doing comedy a little bit, and then really got going with comedy and met Jamie a few years into that. And then about 3 years ago, moved to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
About 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I've been here. I think I've been here like exactly 1 year less or something like that.
Yeah,
you got a head start on me. But I'm from Massachusetts. I'm from a shitty little suburban butthole of Massachusetts called Brockton that I love. It's the best, and my whole family still lives there. So
love
I'm sorry I called it a butthole.
It's
a nice butthole, and they're trying to clean it up. There's a lot of heroin there, but everyone's pretty nice.
There's a lot of heroin there.
Yeah. but I'm from there, and then I moved to Boston to go to college, and then I lived in Boston, including the time I was in college, for about 5 years, and gradually got into comedy, but I was a radio major. I like worked in public radio, and then I worked at a newspaper at the Boston Globe for a while and worked at a comedy theater on the side, and then moved out here to do comedy more of all of the time about 2 years ago.
I love that radio. That's so cool. I never even would have thought of that as a major.
They no longer do. They okay. No. I was like one of the last people at the school
That's
ever
the coolest
to.
Thing.
It was really fun. I mean, it was an extraordinary waste of money as it is a dying industry, but it was fun. I learned a lot, and it's like
we're friends with all the print journalism kids, just all
yeah.
the other dying industry.
Right. Yeah, and then I moved into print journalism. When I first moved out here, I worked at Playboy, the magazine, for
awesome.
A while. And so, yeah, I just have a passion for dying industries.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Calligraphy.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of longhand writing. I'm really into, like, aqueducts and, like, what are other things that don't exist?
Vinyl.
I don't
know. Are you into
vinyl? I could afford to be into vinyl, I would.
She has
I would.
A nice collection, by the
this
way.
This is, holy
yeah,
shit.
Let's not, like, pretend like Susie, like, went out and found all of these. Let's just be straight up and say that that was gifted
you
to me.
You stole them? Oh.
No, it was gifted to me from,
a lot to steal.
From my family, from
That's
my father.
Cool.
That is an impressive collection, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
I passed a
I passed a yard sale last week in my neighborhood, and I got the vinyl for the Xanadu soundtrack.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the one. That's the one I own.
Only one?
I think so. I think that's I probably have a few kicking around. Yeah.
You're going to get addicted soon. Because I do buy, I have bought some of those, but like, you know, the majority of that collection.
It looks legit.
It is pretty legit.
It looks great. And you've got a Ouija board.
Yeah, that's actually not mine, Amber. I need to get that back to you. I used it for a sketch.
Did not mean to call you out.
Nope. It's all good. She doesn't care. It's fine. Okay, wait. So you guys met at college in Boston?
So we met in Boston. I was studying screenwriting. I do have a master's degree in screenwriting.
Okay. Brag. Okay. You should brag. Wait, what's your other degree in?
In just regular film.
Cool.
But I was like, let's concentrate on this one part of it for grad school.
Yeah.
Again, like Jamie, wasted a lot of money on education.
Yeah.
Although spending money on education is not a waste. It's an important thing. But I just think it should be all more right. free. Education's important, but let's have it be free.
Yes.
Anyway, so yeah, we were just doing comedy together in Boston. You were at a place called Improv Boston a lot. I performed there a lot. You worked there. You performed there. Mm-hmm. I went to different of your sketch shows. And then we just, like acquaintances, I'd say, friendly.
We've like done shows together for like we've done stand up shows together and maybe sketch shows too.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't remember. It's weird to think about knowing you there now though, because we didn't know each other that well at all.
We didn't know each other that well, and we didn't really know each other that well until we started the podcast together.
That's true. Yeah.
Like, we had gotten drinks like once or twice.
Which was
when
fun.
You moved
which was fun.
Here.
Which it we was do fun. What we do now, which is I think complain about stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
But I had an idea for a podcast. Is it time? Do we transition into this topic?
Yes, okay. It's always preferable when it's natural. Yeah, it's always preferable when it's natural.
Yes, this is happening very organically that I had an idea for a podcast. And I was like, I want someone who is really smart and really funny and knows about like entertainment and movies.
But no one was available.
So I had to turn to Jamie.
Yes.
No, she was the first and only person I reached out to be my co-host. And I was like, I have an idea. Are you interested? And Jamie was like, needless to say, this is all up my alley.
Yeah.
'Cause I was like, I want someone who, you know, a woman, first of all, because the podcast is about the portrayal of women in movies called the Bechdel cast.
It was always called that, right? Were there
I don't think
other
we even ever
pitches?
Threw any other names around. No.
Yeah.
Definitely on your intro episode, it's already called that. So
Yeah.
It was, but I don't even remember. I feel like you pretty much approached me with like a fully formed vision.
I did.
And I was like, I've never
like
seen a
one
movie
sheet.
Before.
That's so funny. That's exactly, that's exactly how I approached Tracy.
I was happy to be alone for the ride. I was like, yeah.
I was like, all right.
Thank
like,
you.
I'm producing. You want to co-host with me? Like, let's make this happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty much how it happened. And then it's funny. Like, we were recently hanging out with our first guest ever. On the Bechdel cut, and it's so like that was less than a year ago, but it's nice now to feel like we sort of have like a groove and like know where, like, I don't know, there's like a more natural rhythm where I listen to bits and pieces of our first episode.
I'm terrified to do
and
it.
We're like because like we just didn't know each other super well yet.
We didn't know each other super well. We didn't have like a structure fully figured out of like how to. I spent like 10 hours recapping the plot of the movie, which was like a waste of time.
You guys have a year?
We've been we started in November 2016.
Yeah.
So less than a year.
Creeping up.
Awesome.
On a year.
You're on the other side. That's what we're going to. So you guys giving us what to expect. Like,
oh no, they're not quite to a year yet.
Oh, you
they're in November it'll be a year.
Yeah.
So we're ahead of them.
Oh, a little ahead.
We can give you guys
I can imagine going back and listening to the beginning of the.
Well,
the,
we actually
recording. So, oh my God,
we funnily enough, I lost our first, SD card that we recorded on. It got lost, until I moved out of my old apartment, basically. It was, like, in a crack.
Oh, you found it.
I found it. So I'm like, oh, I think I'm going to release our first episode as, like, a bonus episode on our one-year anniversary. But that's probably going to be torture to listen to when I'm editing it.
Did you guys listen to your first episode?
I listened.
At the time, yeah.
I didn't listen to it at the time because I was too scared. But I re-listened to it after we had, like, seen our guest again. And we were like, yeah, that was.
Oh, how bad is it?
It's not great. Yeah. It's not great. Our guest is wonderful. It's weird because I feel like at the beginning we were like, oh, are we going to play games? Or I feel like at one point we were going to try to play games with them or something.
Yeah.
And not.
What was the movie that you guys were talking about?
Kill Bill.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Both of them.
Kill Bill Volumes 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair to you, that's a hell of a recap. That's like 4 hours of movie.
Yeah, but I didn't need to go into that much detail. And I take a lot of responsibility for how bad that episode probably is, but I'm, again, too afraid to go back and listen to it.
You guys should totally redo it with the same guest for your 1 year anniversary.
That would be great. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
And then we could play clips from the first episode of, like, here's where something really went wrong.
dissect,
self-criticism. Because, and the other thing about our first episode that is crazy, because we weren't editing it, like, you weren't editing them at that time. Lots of crazy mouth, cave mouth.
Like,
I was too close to the mic and nervous because it sounded like I had a lot of saliva. I was just like foaming at the mouth.
That's so great, though.
But yeah, we're like 40 episodes in now. We've been doing it.
That feels so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are your favorite movies that you've done so far? I'm in the middle of the Sorcerer's Stone episode.
Ooh, FYI. Fun. That was a recent one.
Yeah.
For us. Some of my favorite episodes do not correspond with my favorite movies. Like, there will be, like, the Love Actually episode is one of my favorites because we had guest Deborah DiGiovanni, and she's a delight and so funny, and it was such a fun discussion. Because we mostly spent most of the time completely hating the movie.
Right.
And talking about how shitty it is.
But also just
that's
screaming.
Fun.
Yeah.
I like all the screamer episodes.
Yeah, we have a few. The Gigli episode, a lot of screaming.
There has to be. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. That episode's basically one long scream. Yeah. It was one of my favorite. And then the Labyrinth episode.
Oh,
lots of screaming. Mm-hmm. Whooping, holler. It's any episode where I get to yell a lot is my favorite episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're recording actually two episodes after this. One about the movie Ghost and one about When Harry Met Sally.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So let's hope for some screaming. I think I can scream a bit.
Yeah, I'm gonna like mainline some caffeine.
That's grown folk movies right there. Swayze. How Harry Met Sally and Ghost. That's some grown folk stuff.
Yeah. I love
How Harry Met Sally. That's that love, real grown love right there.
That's
Ghost. Are you still in love? You know Ghost. What I mean? Wasn't that
I have always I felt cried. Like I was going to fall in love like how Harry Met Sally fell in love.
That was fun.
Like that friend.
That's what I want. A fun friend. Yeah. I want to enjoy you.
Yes. Like that
when
friend.
When they start
out
hating
just...
each other.
Oh, that's good
like
too.
Yes.
Though.
Yeah. I'll be like, oh, I fucking hate you. You're a douche. And then like maybe 5 years later, I'm like, well, I've been single this whole time. Maybe you're the only one.
That's my very romantic idea for my future. I'm just going to let someone wear me down. Like, you know what?
Yeah. That's you like the songs from, oh my God. The crazy ex-girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, settle for me. Yeah. Won't you settle for me?
And someday I'll answer that call. I'll be like, you know what? It's time.
It's time.
And then she goes to the bathroom and she's like, settle for him. Couldn't I just? Yeah, I love it.
She wouldn't. I would. I'd be like, you know what? You're boring, but you're not dangerous. Let's do it.
You're not dangerous.
You got to choose after a while.
Right. It's usually one or the other.
Yeah. I guess I don't know. I can take boring over dangerous. That's what I would take over boring because boring is hell.
boring.
I'm not bored by myself.
Wait,
imagine.
You prefer dangerous to boring?
No, only reason why, because it's dangerous. Dangerous means they can kill you.
Right.
I'm like, hell, no.
Yeah. Well,
also
you've already.
Defeat the purpose.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? You've also already experienced some shit.
Yeah,
so
no, dangerous, though.
Yeah.
But boring is hard. Because it's like, you know what I mean? I'm not bored by myself. I'm going to go listen to something, do something. I'm bored with another whole human being. That's tragic to me. That's depressing. It's like, why are we bored?
You know? Bored? Like, right. Being bored is just the dumbest thing. Especially if you live somewhere like L.A., it's like, what are you fucking doing? Like, get up off of your couch.
Yeah, there's no excuse.
You gotta just go outside in L.A. You ain't gonna be bored. Just look.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look out your window. Okay, I love that the Bechdel test means so much to you, because, like, that's part of why Act Like a Girl started, too.
No way.
Yeah, because I was just like, why? I still want to develop this more, but the whole premise, like the beginning idea of Act Like a Girl, was a web series. I just don't have enough money for it right now, but like, as soon as I have money, it'll be
that.
Money?
What is money?
If you'd like to email me out there, or PayPal, Venmo me at Susie Dunn.
We always pass that Sugar Daddy billboard on the way to
Sugar Baby.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. And you're just, and I can't imagine how many people a day pass that billboard and they're like, there will come a day.
Yeah.
But I feel like I would be like the funniest Sugar Baby. Like, I'd be like, can you fund my website? Like, can you fund my feminist fund?
I think that's like 90% of the people on that out app here, right now. They're like, listen, I'm just going to Robin Hood from you know, and then you fund my idea.
I for sure attempted to fill out a profile for one of those like Sugar Daddy, Sugar Baby websites. Uh-huh.
Really?
Uh-huh. Go on.
I think when I first moved here to LA, and then once when I lived in New York.
I mean, but in New York, it's like...
I can't remember which one it was
Wall Street daddies.
One of them, right, one of them, they were, like, giving you these very rigid guidelines of, like, the types of photos you were supposed to upload. They're like, you, only photos taken indoors, no photos outdoors.
What?
Men tend to, like, straight hair, so straighten your hair, and it's like, first
gross.
Of all, what the...
Based
fuck.
On what studies is
right.
this?
Right. And I think
men
it was
only
just
want straight-haired women indoors.
It, like, seemed a bit racist to me. They were like,
everything
we just want blonde, straight-haired white ladies, and because that's who our shitty millionaires are going to be attracted to. And then I was like, well, fuck this then. I'll find my own $1 million. I'll make it myself.
How's
and
that going?
Then you it's, did.
Yeah. And here I am, millionaire Caitlin.
Yay.
You know, but $1 million isn't even really $1 million anymore.
It's true.
Like, it's like,
I'll take it, though.
More than $1 million now.
I'll take it and sit down. I just want to sit down for a minute. I'll take it and
take
sit down.
Take the taxes out still. It's
so
still
bad. That's not satisfying for me.
There.
But I don't want $1 million just like for me and my house. Like, I want to like start charities and shit. So that's where I'm coming from.
I would,
like,
if I had wealth, I would just then give it all away.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I would do. Okay, hold on. I'm dripping.
If I had $1 million, no one would ever see me again.
Okay. No.
I would move to the top of a hill. And no one would ever hear.
Yeah,
me
I don't.
Again.
That's a good idea.
I'll
not to give them your address.
You.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah,
I can give you my phone number, but not my address. Maybe.
Right. Right.
That's a good idea.
You,
yeah.
Like, you won't
I'm
be able
serious.
To
I'm enjoyed it
in the Heights.
No, I haven't.
You need to listen to In the Heights. There's a whole song that Nina sings. Or no, not Nina. The other.
Is In the Heights the other
Lin-Manuel
Miranda? Yeah.
It's his first big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, if I win the lottery, you'll never see me again. It's like literally a line.
Wait,
in the song.
I know that. Yeah.
I'm just to sing this whole episode. Okay. I've never sang before on this podcast, and now I've just sang twice on this.
That's some of my public radio shit coming through. We used to have a Saturday, Sunday, like 2-hour Broadway block.
Hell,
that
yes.
program. It was really fun. I mean, like the specialty programming we would do, it was a lot of Broadway. That was fun. I used to host the kids show from 6 a.m.
Yeah.
to 10 a.m. on a Saturday. So I'd be like in college and very hungover and be like, hi, my name's Jello. Does anyone want to listen to Weird Al? Call in now. And then I would talk to all these cute little kids and they would be like, I want to hear Let It Go again. And you'd be like, well, shit, guess we're going to play Let It Go again. And then there was a cappella, and that's just 10 miles of bad road.
Yeah.
I'm prejudiced against a cappella music. No, no. I hosted the show, but then it was like Boston is such a college town, so there's so many college a cappella groups. It's,
oh, boy.
Yeah, they should be outlawed. There's just a level of confidence that shouldn't be accessed.
Like fucking incredible. But then it's like everybody, it's like a drug. Like everybody's like, oh, no, I can do it this time. But it's like, no, you probably
can't. And they start organizing and like forming flash mobs, and you're just like, this is too much. Get your cummerbund out of my food court. I'm trying to like live my life right now, and you're singing the hits in my face.
Oh, my God.
Hate flash mobs, hate a cappella music, if, like, going down on the record.
That would actually be really, I'm sure this exists, but that would be a really funny sketch, like a couple's like trying to break up, but then the flash mob is happening around them.
There's
like, right at the peak of their breakup.
Yeah, write that sketch.
I'm going to delete that out of here.
Yeah. Don't steal this idea.
This is now IP. There's my college, my freshman year, and this was when I was like, maybe I don't like going here too much. They were very into the idea of lip dubs. You remember when,
what's
like, lip dubs was, like, a hot thing that a group of obnoxious people could do?
Like bad lip reading?
No, it was, like, just, like, a karaoke video, basically, where I went to college. I started in 2010, and so they were, like, we're going to just lip sync all the hits of Lady Gaga throughout the school. And it was this high production thing.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the age of the lip dub.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. And then they would put it,
And then they would put it online and be like, doesn't this school look so fun? And
aren't
it's like,
we
I
cool
wish
and
this.
Creative?
Right. And I was like, if I had seen this before I applied, I would be living a very different life right now. I would not be here.
That's great. Okay, so when did you discover the Bechdel test? Like, when did that change? How long until you were like, okay, I have to make this podcast? Probably.
I think I had heard about it for the first time maybe 5 years ago, and then promptly forgot that it was a thing, and then relearned what it was maybe like 3 years ago. But I didn't ever learn about it any of the times I went to film school or anything like that.
Oh,
so
shocking.
They don't bother teaching things
not
like that or telling you how to develop, good female characters or anything like that. That was never taught. But I wanted to start a podcast, and then I was like trying to think of ideas of what it should be about, and I was like, well, I love movies, but I don't just want to start like any random movie podcast. Ooh, what if I talk about how women are portrayed in movies, because usually
it's
not
shit.
Good. For listeners at home, if you don't know what the Bechdel test is, I'd be happy to woman-splain it to you. It is a test that requires that a movie or a comic book or a TV show or whatever has two female characters. They have to talk to each other, and their conversation has to be about something other than a man. Preferably, those characters have names that the audience knows what their names are.
And it's for 2 or more minutes, right? Or like...
There may be different caveats where it's like there's a time frame, or it has to like their conversation has to last a certain number of time. I haven't really heard much about that.
I thought it was like collectively 2 minutes throughout the whole film.
I've heard of that variation on it.
Yeah,
our the way movies score on our podcast would be very different if we had a time, because what we usually work off is we're literally just looking for two lines of dialogue between one character. Second character,
holy God.
They have names. They're and it still
it
is
still
like,
is like skewed. Yeah,
really hard
with
a lot of movies to even.
And also,
justify.
There can't be another man in that conversation too. Like, it has to be a man.
That might be another. Like, I think that's another caveat that we don't really adhere to. I mean, if we were adhering to like
all
these rules, pretty much no fucking movie ever would pass the Bechdel test, except maybe
before a certain time,
Thelma and Louise, or like a small handful of things,
right?
But
we have the women need to be talking to each other. They can't be addressing a group that includes men.
Right.
It's, I feel like it's sort of, I mean, and all that said, it's an arbitrary test that just is supposed to point out the larger problems that we should be talking about anyways.
Sure. Right.
But yeah, there's so many different like permutations of it.
Well, it's also like, I fucking love it. Cause I mean, yeah, I guess I didn't even finish that thought of like, so yeah, so the idea of Act Like a Girl was to be a web series where basically it's just like, it's those movies, but it's with women because that can happen. Like Pineapple Express could pass the Bechdel test if only James Franco's part and Seth Rogen's part were female.
Yeah.
Playing. Right. Like that's the way that it, so for me, that was just like, what? Like, why is this so hard for everyone? That's what I like about the Bechdel test is that it's like inspired so much other art and like, you know, you guys, and I know so many other people have been inspired by the Bechdel test, and like us doing this podcast is in turn inspired by the idea of that.
Yeah.
But like, you know.
And it's cool. I mean, it's cool to see how when people haven't heard of it before, like how it really does just sort of like get in your head a little bit and affect the way that you watch anything. Mm-hmm. Like it's in a good way. Because there are so many, like you were saying, there's so many like small tweaks you could make to just make any piece of media not even good. Like, it doesn't even mean that the project is good to women.
No.
Or good, you know, but it is just at least representing them in like the lowest.
A different light or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Or just like setting the lowest possible bar for like not completely dismissing every female character.
Right. It's sort of like just beginning the conversation, a much larger conversation of, okay, like how many women are there in this narrative that you're telling? Is it, are there like equal numbers men and women? If not, why are there so few women? Why aren't the
Where
women
are
talking
they? What
to
did
each
you
other
do to them?
Why are usually or oftentimes the women either just only a love interest or highly objectified or sexualized, and they don't really have any important bearing on the story? Their actions don't really do anything that influences the story. Their characters are not developed.
They're little
not
exposition machines.
Right.
Right.
Like, they show up and they're like, hey, here's what's about to happen. You know,
dream girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's just so much of like the representation of women in movies, like especially like mainstream Hollywood cinema, is just like very flat women characters who don't get a lot of screen time, don't have any women friends in the movie, don't talk to other women in the movie, and generally just like,
if it's a horror movie, they're gonna be in a wet t-shirt at some point
and probably murdered if they
not wearing
if
a
they
bra.
If they've ever had sex, they're gonna get stabbed to death. Like just all these weird like
it's crazy. And it's like true. Once and then once I, and that's stuff that when I was younger never registered with me, because that's just how all or most movies are.
Right. It's been so normalized that we're just like, well, this is, and then, so we're here to challenge it. We're like, no, this isn't how it has to be.
Yeah.
And so we're calling everything
out. I think the only way that I registered it as a kid is if it was like extreme. Like I remember like watching a movie, like this is such a weird reference, but like watching a movie like Little Giants and being like, but why is there only one girl on the team?
Oh, that's right. Similar. Like we
the
did an episode
Rascals.
About, oh, I was going to say The Sandlot.
Oh, The Sandlot.
Where there are no girls except for the hot lifeguard.
There's the hot lifeguard. And then she gets sexually assaulted by one of the little boys because he fakes drowning.
But they get married later.
But they get married later. So
and
it's
have
fine.
A bazillion kids.
Right.
Yeah.
He was like,
went
right over my head when I was
and
little.
And yet I still love that movie though.
That's well, and that's like another fun thing about talking about movies with other comics is like, even like some of my favorite movies do not pass the test.
I'd say most of my favorite movies.
Yeah, well, yeah, because
like,
most movies do.
Right.
So there's not a lot to pick from.
And so it's kind of fun to like be in that weird squirmy place of like, but I still like it.
Well, but I think that's
problems.
But I think that that's like kind of the point, right? Is that it's like we're not saying that you can't make this. But we're saying that also we would like you to also make this too.
Like it doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to stop.
Just do better.
Just
next
do
time.
Better. Yeah. Try a little harder.
Better. Make a good thing
spend
better.
Spend more time writing your female characters, and that's all we ask.
Well, and like I've given like a friend of mine asked me years ago for writing advice before I was even a writer, but I was like such a feminist. He was like, but I just have a hard time writing women. And I was like, why are you trying to write women? Just write people.
Yeah.
And then name them Rachel. Or right. name them Susie. Or name them, you know, whatever.
Right.
Name them all Susie.
That's my advice. Yeah, he's trying to think like a female and see what he should say and all that. And you can't.
Well, there just isn't. Right, it's yeah. that we're all diverse humans. Yeah, exactly. You know, it doesn't.
Yeah, just write a complicated person.
Yeah.
And then, surprise, guess what? That's a woman.
Their name's Susie.
Gender's over, baby. We're done.
What's that line from As Good As It Gets where Jack Nicholson's character, who's a writer, someone approaches him and they're like, how do you write women so well? And he's like, well, I write a man. And then I take out logic and something else. And he's like, bam. And it's like, looking.
God, everyone's terrible. And sometimes it is like kind of innocently, that like kind of going off what you were saying, Susie. It's like, I was just reading something, male friend of mine had written recently, and he was just like asking me for some feedback, and I was like, you gave some sort of background detail about every character in this story except the one female character. and he was like, oh, I didn't even realize. I was like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But like, realize it and then do better.
Yeah,
and
if you're gonna ask,
that's all we're trying to say.
Yeah, if you're gonna ask me for notes on something, like 95% of the time, I'm going to be like, okay, well, I would suggest to switch this character to a female.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like, where is your, you know, like.
You so. Know this dynamic, interesting character you wrote? What if?
What if?
What if she's a woman? Yeah.
And then it's so funny, the, like, the excuses and the reasoning that people give me as to why they can't be a woman. And I'm just like, no.
That's no, because they're a dynamic, not interesting character.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, that
right,
can't right, be right. a woman.
Right.
I professionally am a story analyst and script reader, and I give notes to people who. So I've read hundreds of scripts throughout my life, and so many of them, and these are like bad things that aren't getting made and stuff like that. But it doesn't matter. The things that are getting made, the things that aren't, still people are writing garbage female characters across the board.
I want to play a female character named Garbage.
Yes!
That sounds like an interesting character.
Lots of yeah.
Remind me to send you. Remind me to send you the music video my roommate just made. It's called Garbage Girl.
Yes. Okay. Cool. Right up my alley.
I play a mouse.
Ooh. Hell yeah.
Okay. So you guys, how often do you guys record? It comes out every week, right?
Weekly podcast. We usually record
Thursday.
Us too.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's so fun.
Twins.
So yeah, listen to Act Like a Girl and then listen to the Bechdel Cast.
Yes. Yeah, double feature. Fill your Thursday with feminism. Yeah.
Feminism Thursday.
Listen to
maybe
the
There's
podcast.
No alliteration there. Maybe we should have gone with Friday, but we made a mistake.
Well, I like the Thursday slot.
Yeah.
I think it's nice. A perfect day.
Well, we often try, if there's like the weekend. If there's a new movie coming out, like Spider-Man, or, you know, we did a Transformers movie for a Transformers episode. For
we
the
did all the summer movies
yeah.
this summer. We did
so Pirates movies of the Caribbean. Often come out Fridays, so we release our episode the Thursday before, and then people are like,
and you did Sorcerer's Stone around the anniversary,
which like was a complete accident.
Really? That's so funny.
Yeah.
I just assumed.
Caitlin just loves Harry Potter.
I just love Harry Potter. Our guest wanted to do a Harry Potter episode, and it all worked out. Harry and it turned out that was the same week that was it the 25th? 20th anniversary of the first book being published. Yes. So.
Makes me feel old. And I'm not old, but it makes me feel old.
Well, as a woman of advancing years myself, I can say that you're not old.
I know I'm not old, but it's still just like when your favorite book has been out for 20 years, you're like, and it came, and you remember when it came out. It's just that makes you feel old, you know?
Or like you have perspective.
Yeah. I reread it again, of course.
Oh, that's nice.
Obviously.
It's a quick read when you're an adult.
It is such a quick read. Well, and I did
the
it on audio.
Are like 45 inches thick. They're so thick.
I did it on audio, too, so it was like.
Oh, nice.
You know. And having it read to you is like the nicest fucking thing. I can't. It's so funny. Like, I don't ever think about wanting children ever. But when I think about reading Harry Potter to kids. But I can do that to other children. They don't have to be mine.
Yeah, just get a niece or you know, a little friend.
Because that's like, what I was thinking, too. And I start babysitting. I'm like, okay, this is work. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. So much work.
So much work.
It's exhausting.
Yes.
So wait, you don't want to have children?
I don't think so.
I definitely don't want to have children.
It's a like for me, the thing is like, it's super circumstantial, like very circumstantial. Right. Like I would have to be like, I'd have to have a partner because I'm not going to do it by myself. Not that I don't think you can. I think you totally can, but I can't personally. Mm. And I'd have to have a partner that was like there and like wanted to be a parent almost more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'd have to have money to have a nanny because like I want to. Work.
Well, millionaire Caitlin can give you some money.
Sugar mommy. You know, so there would be like all the, I think I would be really good at it. That's not it. But I just, there, it's just very circumstantial.
Sure. I've known since I was like 8 years old that I have not wanted kids. And of course, my whole life has been, well, you're going to change your mind. You just haven't Fuck met the you. Right person. You're going to get older and you're going to want to be a mother. And I'd say the older I get, the less I want to be a parent. So, all those people
Since
can fuck
8
off.
Years old, you, it's only been confirmed
I
every
kids
year of your
I
life.
I was a kid. Yeah, I was like, I don't.
I can totally see you being that kid. Right. I love like, talks that. To the adults yeah. at the party.
I kind of was. Yeah.
I think women are like that. We just make up our minds like at a young age. No, I don't want this. No, I don't like this. I'm not going to deal with this.
Well, also, if you can like separate yourself from the brainwashing.
Yeah.
Then that's helpful because it's a lot
because that's brainwashing. A lot of it is you brainwashing. Have to have a child because you have the that's parts
because you're able to.
Yeah,
right.
I've got a womb. I have to do something with it.
Well, I kind of wish more people felt about it the way that I do, which you know feel that way about everything. If only I ruled the world, right? But I wish that more people thought about it more circumstantial like that because I think that is the way to look at it. Is like
right, not something you have to do, but something you really.
Want to and can do. Yeah, right. And, like, work to make space for. And, like, that's the thing is I don't see myself, like, making space
right
for that.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Well, I want to
follow
have,
your dreams.
I want to have a kid, and I want it to be a real freak.
Yeah.
If I have a little normal kid, we're going to have a tough relationship.
Like, ah.
Yeah, just fuck
I'm
it
like,
up. You'll
geez.
Be fine.
I tell Caitlin all the time when I have a kid, it's going to use a litter box. Only going to be allowed to walk in its hands.
That's so funny.
It'll be sent away to circus camp. But I feel like that's the perfect way to make a very normal accountant child.
Right.
That's going to be my punishment in life. I'm going to have a real
boring
straight-laced, by the book. Yeah, nine to five child.
My brother and I talk about that all the time because my brother is perfect, like, essentially.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I'm fucking fucked up and weird. And we always, like, neither of us want kids. And we always make jokes that it's because we're terrified of having each other.
Like, yeah.
I'm have him and he's going to have me. And neither of us are going to know what to do with it.
That's funny.
My friends in high school would always be like, well, what if you have a kid who's wants to be a Marine? I'm like, oh, my God.
Right.
Wait, wants to be what?
A Marine.
Oh,
like, nothing
yeah.
against that, but that would just be, like, so hard for me. Like,
yeah.
As a parent.
It's interesting. Yeah, I dated someone who was in the military for many years, and it's such a, I mean, yeah, it's just, like, such a different mindset, especially because I've always been like working in relatively arty kind of stuff, and sometimes they're just like, you know, you can get along super well, but then you reach like a communication barrier of like, but do you have to hurt people, you know?
Right, right.
That, and they're like, oh, you're a civilian. And it's like,
oh, that was never my experience of it there.
Okay.
I mean
that exists for me as a comedian, and then comedians do this awful thing where when we're talking about non-comedians, we're like, oh, she's a civilian or he's
right,
a
normal
and
person.
And it's just like, oh, what a douchey thing to do.
Yeah, that's
I don't
a very
cute
way of
it,
saying,
but.
Like, oh, this is a person who doesn't, like, waste all their time not making money
right.
and being very mentally unhealthy and bitter. What an idiot.
Like, no, but they can't keep up with the bits, though.
You know, a lot of time, it depends. I've met some funny normies.
I don't know.
I hate
like,
myself.
Whatever.
I'm sorry. Everyone hates me. Please follow me on Twitter. All
right. Wait, what's your Twitter? You
New
can't
tattoos. Caitlin Durante.
Yes.
I'm not going to tell you how to spell it. You figure it out. There's over 100 ways to spell Caitlin. You'll figure it out.
It'll also be written on the.
No, don't include it.
I'll
want
I'll
them to
it.
Solve
Wait,
the mystery.
I'll spell it in a different way every time I write your name.
K
keep the mystery alive.
Yeah.
That would be really funny.
I want people to have to work to follow me, you know?
Well, but like no one would be surprised because of my dyslexia. Caitlin already had to help me with our last show poster.
Oh yeah, cuz you're doing a show at NerdMelt where I work as the program director.
Yes.
Crossover. Wow.
Crossover.
Love it.
I mean, we had to talk about it. Thank you for having us.
Thanks
Nerd
for doing
Mel.
It. Thanks for putting on a good show.
We fucking love it there.
Yay.
We're excited to, like, keep going.
Yeah. How did it get so popular?
What, that venue?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nerdist.
Yeah.
That, and then I think it's just...
I saw it on TV before when they was, like, coming in and talking about it. Like, it was something...
Oh, yeah. And then, well, the Meltdown with Jonah and Kumail, which was a 3-season series on Comedy Central, that sort of helped popularize it. But I think it's just the Meltdown with Jonah and Kumail, Jonah Ray and Kumail Nanjiani, had their show, The Meltdown, there every Wednesday for like 6 years.
Yeah.
And then Comedy Central picked it up as a stand-up show, basically.
I get it.
And they shot it there at NerdMelt. So that was cool. I got to work
on
season 3.
Show.
Yeah, it's super great. But yeah, I don't know. It's just it's a space for like people who love to do comedy. It's a good space for them. People who love to watch comedy. It's a good space for them. It's just like I mean, not to brag, but you know, I work at a cool place and help.
No,
make it
it's
cool.
Honestly one of my favorite theater. Like, I mean, obviously that's why it was our first choice. Because the thing I love about it is that like. You're still, yeah, you're paying $10 because you should be, because it's like good comedy is happening and like it's a good space and like it's expensive to be on Sunset, but it's like a convenient spot. And then there's also like a fucking dope ass comic book store in the front. So like, yeah, support the fucking arts, you motherfuckers. Pay for it.
I do like that you're like forced to walk through a different medium that you might not be as used to get to.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's the best. Yeah, because you do find stuff. It's
but then
cool.
There are no drink minimums. Like, it's not that bullshit.
Right. You don't even have a bar.
Like, yeah. It's like, you don't have to play into that bullshit of like, you know, other places where you have to pay for a even more expensive ticket and drinks and, you know.
And you have to, like, valet your car.
Yeah, where are you going to park? And,
right.
Yeah. That's why I love NerdMelt, because
we're just very unassuming.
Yeah.
We're just sneak like, up on you.
Yeah.
Okay. But like I said, I do think like fuck you, pay $10. Like,
yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For raw live comedy? Come on.
Yeah, man. Well, and like how the fuck do you expect the theater to say? That's why like whenever I go to the pack, I fucking love the pack and I always
the
give
because
it's pay what you can. Yeah, the pack is great. And it's all pay what you can and bless them.
Yeah.
But they bust their asses and like if they can't make rent, they all the founders throw in. So like,
ooh, wow.
Guys, when you go to the pack, like give money as
give
like
money,
give what you
five,
can.
$10.
I usually
Venmo
give they
it,
suggest
baby.
$5, but I usually try to give $10 if I can because it's just
really
like,
nice.
Well, fucking art. What do you like
support the
art? What do you expect? Like, how do you expect to do stand up shows and have a space if you aren't willing to like help support it yourself?
Yeah.
And especially like it's so rare to find places where there's like actual like communities. Like there's like a Meltdown community.
Yeah, totally.
And like a group and the same with the pack where it's like once you have that then yeah, of course you have to keep supporting it or else it turns into like a conglomerate or it shuts down.
Those are the two directions. And I've talked to Emily Candini about that a lot, and she, you know, she's basically like, I don't know how long we can even, like, the pack is going to close someday because this is not a proper business model. I mean, they'll figure it out.
Maybe there'll be a nice philanthropist who, maybe millionaire Caitlin will swoop in and
that would be great.
Save the day.
Yeah,
or
make
honestly,
that million.
Ideally, one of the founders would like suddenly. Pop off and then they could just like make it their theater.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of like what NerdMelt has. Like they, you know, they like, I mean, it's separate from Nerdist, but it's also affiliated. So
well,
like,
yeah, I mean, we're under the Nerdist umbrella, but as I'm sort of like left to my own devices to do all the programming and decide what shows go up there and all
so
that stuff.
So you still get to be kind of indie, but like.
Yeah, but we have like the support of a bazillion D-dollar company.
Right.
Kind of the dream.
That's the
kind
dream.
Of the dream.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the fucking dream. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So.
So.
Okay, so you, how often do you guys find yourself recording episodes?
It kind of depends. It has a lot to do with guest availability, sometimes our availability, but right now we're sort of on a tear of, like, we had a backlog for a while, and now
we used it all up.
We used it all up. And so we're recording a bunch of episodes in the next couple of weeks. And then doing some live episodes in the fall that we're excited about.
Fun. Where is that happening?
We're doing a live episode as a part of the Cinderblock Comedy Festival in New York in September.
Yay. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, awesome. We're thrilled.
Do you know who and what? Can you say? Do you know?
We don't know the movie yet. We have a guest locked in that the festival set us up with. I've forgotten her
Ray
name.
Ray Sani.
Yes. Yeah.
She's really, really funny. She's a great stand-up. She writes for The President Show. And so we're super stoked to have her. We've done one other live episode before and learned probably every lesson that you can learn with a live episode, where it's like the audio was weird. It was a lot, but it was a learning experience. So we're going to be ready.
We're ready for this next one.
Oh my God. Cause we recorded our Nerd Melt shows.
Yeah.
Sorry, excuse me. The first one, I sat down to edit it and something happened with the file. It got corrupted and I thought that it was gone. And I was like so sad. And I was so sad to the point where I had to just get off my computer because I couldn't even process it. And then I came back like an hour later and it was fine. The file just like the transfer just got corrupted. But it was it exists. But
that's
I was
a relief,
like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
That's terrifying.
Really? Like, it would have been the worst thing, but like.
The first
the worst
one.
Thing.
I mean, that was
the
a great show.
It was such a good show, and now we have an audio recording of it, and
I'm glad it lived. Yay. We were not so fortunate. It was a fun show, but Caitlin and my voice, fortunately, our guest's voice sounded salvageable, so we posted, like, clips of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it was brutal, where Caitlin and I both sounded fully underwater.
Yeah. Did you have to...
The entire
did you have to... what do you call it? Yourselves? That...
No, we had someone like audio engineering it for us, but I think that there wasn't like, we didn't do a sound check. We just like forgot that was a thing we should have done.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, we sounded as though we were underwater, but also screaming at the top of our lungs.
Fortunately,
our
guests had more self-control than we did and spoke at a level that you could understand what she was saying. And then there would be these like hell screams that's either me or Caitlin.
That's so funny. See, because I get really lucky with you guys because Beowulf and whoever else.
Oh, yeah, Zach.
Yeah,
at Nerd Melt.
They're just already like,
they're
doing
old
the
pros.
Sounds.
They know their shit.
They're doing the levels and shit, so I just plug it in and it's the best.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I don't have to do any. Okay, thank you.
But yeah, we were usually, it averages out, I think, to one episode a week that we record.
Yeah.
But like in the next 3 days, we have three episodes. Because we are both also going out of town in a few weeks.
Yeah. Either way, as long as we have an episode ready for the next Thursday,
we're good.
We'll make it work. Yeah.
It varies with us. Right now, we've been recording a lot I was in Japan and Australia, and then I'm going to be in Michigan for my mom's wedding. So, like, and then she's going home to Atlanta.
Yeah. And it's easier, too, when you can do one person. We're just doing, like, one person at a time now. Usually it's the group.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're just, like, so busy. Our structure usually is three individual episodes with people and then a group discussion with everyone. So scheduling that can kind of be a monster.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So we do it all at once usually. We get, like, five or four episodes knocked out at once, which is nice. But but it can be kind of a monster to schedule. But this summer we're both just so busy that we've been doing more of, like, this kind of, like, you know, women who are producing stuff together and talking about that kind of thing.
Cool.
We produce something together.
We do have a male involved in the operation. However, he is the best man either of us have ever met.
True.
Wow. Producer Aristotle is
great. That's a good name.
He's got a great name. He's the sweetest
he is a philosopher.
Man. He is.
Oh my God.
Does he have a stone?
Oh.
I got it.
It produces the elixir of life, and we're actually all immortal now.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
That's wow. So
I'll see you guys. You know, when you're listening to this episode 200 years from now, I'll still be alive.
Hiding, waiting,
looking
waiting.
Exactly like
living at the top of a hill with my lottery winnings,
like Tuck Everlasting,
with your $1 million, with your $1 million.
Which in 200 years, $1 million will be like 7 cents,
right?
Of today's money.
So true. Yes.
You can't even wish for a million anymore. You just got to go for a billion.
Yeah, no, that's what. Yeah, it's like $1 million is kind of nothing now, which is like tragic to say, but
yeah.
I think if I had $1 million, I could make it last the rest of my life.
Me too.
Like, I would never have to earn.
I would have to get a financial planner, but yes, they would help me make it last the rest of my life. That would be fine. But someone else, I could not. The thing is money just, I'm an Aries, so money just disappears out of my hand. So someone else would have to be in charge of it. And they would be like, this is your budget for the week. And I would be like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
You're right. It is. That's my budget. But I could not be responsible enough. Personally,
well, money management is such a, I mean, this is a totally different topic, but managing, like, the things sometimes that I will justify spending money on versus things that I won't, there's no rhyme or reason. I'm like, I have to eat at 7-Eleven only, or I will not have money anymore. However, I would like to get, like, a basic animatronics kit. And this, I can, like, justify the expense. And it's just like, no, eat regular food and don't try to build a robot, Jamie.
No, definitely eat 7-Eleven and build a robot. Like, definitely eat 7-Eleven and build a robot.
See, I'm the opposite. I almost am, like, cruel to myself in that, like, I won't, like, treat myself to anything. So I'll be like, I can't afford it. I can only eat scraps. And I just won't treat myself to anything fun or do anything, because I'm like, I need to save my money.
Only eat at 7-Eleven.
I don't have money for those robot kits. Yeah. Good advice. Thanks,
I've had
Jamie.
The robot kit tab open on my computer for days.
I love it.
For days.
Oh my god, you need that robot. Well, just set goals. Be like, if I make this much, buy this much, and don't spend this much, buy this much.
Then I can make a robot.
Then I can make a robot.
You should be a financial advisor.
Thank you so much. Yeah, only eat one slice of pizza a day and make a robot.
I mean, it is like 1,800 calories,
that works.
Right?
Yeah, it works.
That's your one daily allotted calorie count. But anyway, yeah, watch movies with women in them.
Seriously, yeah, that's the point of all of it. So you guys have, I know you guys have like kind of a separate pass. Do all of the movies that you feature on the podcast pass?
No.
Okay.
No.
A lot of people think it's a requirement that the movie that they pick has to pass the Bechdel test, but no, it's really, we're just there to talk about how whatever movie we're discussing treats its female characters, if there are even any. Sometimes a movie, Shawshank Redemption, not a there's like a flashback with a woman in it for like two seconds and then that's the only woman in the
and
movie.
There's also the woman who gets murdered at the beginning.
Dang. Well, that
So the movie criteria is either a movie that there's a because it's all everything is a reboot, so we'll do episodes that line up with a reboot where we'll watch the old version, or I think the episodes we have the most fun with is when we just have a comic bring in their favorite movie that happens to be a little problematic.
That's so fun.
And then we just kind of tear it to pieces lovingly.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that.
Me too.
Thank you.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I like am chill with tearing apart my favorite things.
Yeah. I think it's healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, I tear myself apart by my favorite things. So.
Exactly.
So what's the most popular movie that they bring in? The comics. Well, let's say, if you have
What was your most popular movie?
I could just see comics bringing in something like The Godfather or something, you know.
We've done Star Wars. We've done Star Wars and New Hope. That's one of the bigger ones. We've done The Wizard of Oz not too long ago.
I'm surprised.
I'd say most of the ones we've done are pretty like popular mainstream movies.
No violence.
There's not, and I mean that just sort of makes it easier for our listeners,
right?
They're like, this is probably a movie they've seen, because like
I'd be fine with, like, every once in a while doing, like, a more obscure or, like, you know, indie movie or something like that. But
like a bad movie or, I don't know. I think we've been trying to pull from different genres and stuff of, like, oh, if you like horror movie, maybe you would be into this episode or, yeah, like, whatever. But, yeah, for the most part, it's, like, recognizable movies just to make it more accessible to,
yeah, to like, everyone. I mentioned we did Love Actually. We've done Princess Bride, Groundhog Day, Kill Bill, like, Boogie a whole Nights. Slew. Boogie Nights.
I love the Boogie Sandlot. Nights.
Boogie Nights is fun. Yeah.
And it has actual women characters. How did that do?
That passes because of Susan Sarandon and Roller Girl.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah,
where they're like, you want to be your mom?
Yeah.
Wait, yeah. Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore.
Oh, that's Susan
Sarandon.
Yeah.
I can see how
redhead.
You... Yeah.
Yeah.
Red hair. Sorry.
Red hair ladies.
I was just being red hair insensitive.
Don't shame.
Right. Yeah, this is fine. Sorry if I triggered any redheads out there.
But we did do Thelma and Louise, which Susan Sarandon is in.
And that movie obviously passes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That movie, like, never gets old, but I don't like to watch the end no more when they go off the cliff. I'm like, no!
Spoilers!
I want to be like, there's another way, yes! But honestly, not really.
Well,
I
also, it wouldn't be as iconic if they didn't kill
I wish
themselves.
Thelma and Louise ended like Grease does, where the car takes off into the sky and they fly into the sun. That would be a better ending.
Someone should edit
or
that.
How it ends at the end of Back to the Future when they, again, takes off into the sky flying and then goes into 2015, 30 years into the future.
Whoa.
What if that was the end of Thelma and Louise?
We would be friends with them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh my God. I would be best friends with Gina Davis.
I was like, I want to be friends with Gina Davis in a crop top.
A goddess.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, she's great.
The Gina Davis Foundation.
Yeah, we post a lot of articles that, like, reference things that they're doing.
Yeah.
We're GD hits.
She
went to BU as well.
Gina Davis did? I always forget
she
that.
She did. Yeah.
Hey, that's where I went to grad school and Boston. Spent thousands of dollars on a useless degree.
Yay, Boston.
The podcast.
Yay, Boston. Right, I'm using my degree for the podcast that I don't make any money on.
Me too. I'm using that marketing degree right now.
Hell yeah.
Right now. As the interest piles up on my student loans.
Uh-huh.
How do you think they get that money back? Really? I got to be rich. You know, I got to make it.
Right.
Yeah, seriously.
Or else you're going to just be in debt forever. Mm-hmm. At some point, I feel like they're just going to release all of that, right? Like,
well, Obama was trying.
That's what I'm banking on.
Yeah.
I hope not right now. Not in the current administration.
Yeah. Obama was trying to. They're, no. Yeah. They're like, take away the Medicaid and the Social Security, everything. They don't want you to breathe.
Nope. Yeah, it's like, oh, sorry, you're not already rich? Then fuck you. Yeah. That's what Trump says.
A rich family? Then fuck you.
And also, he and his whole administration are Nazis. But anyway.
Yep.
Yeah.
What were we talking
it's
about?
I met for 2 hours yesterday.
No shit.
What a time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Seriously. It is a mess right now out there. Okay, so you guys' episode comes out every Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And are you, you're on, where? What platforms are you guys on?
Ooh, we're on iTunes.
Boom.
We're on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Libsyn. Whoa. You can listen to us there. Probably a whole bunch of other ones. I don't even know that much about podcast platforms.
Oh, yeah. Does your producer do all that stuff for you?
He does.
Does he edit the episodes for you, too?
No, I edit them because I really like editing.
Gross.
A lot. I love, like, taking something that needs to be fixed and fixing it.
Oh, that's how I feel about relationships.
Yeah,
that's great.
I'm fixing. You see a man, you're like, I can fix him. But that's why I like being a story analyst. That's not the word. Analyst. Good Arrested Development.
Thank you so reference. Much.
But yeah, I like just like taking usually like. A creative work and then telling people how they can make it better or fixing it myself. So yeah, that's why I like editing.
That's
wow.
Great.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna keep in touch with you because I like to edit. I need a lot of editing in my life.
And oh yeah.
Yeah.
Do you need a life coach? Is that what you
need? Yeah, I need that. That's what I really need.
I need someone to edit out the bad stuff in my life.
So yeah, it's like, what part is good? Like,
I don't know. Like, in my dream world, I'm like, yes, somebody else someday will edit these episodes for me because I fucking hate editing. But then I come back to reality and I'm like, Suzanne Dunn, you're never going to be able to give up the control.
That's part of the thing, too. I'm a control freak.
I am a control freak. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's what that is. That's the motivation.
I just healthily let it rear its head.
But that's good, though.
I don't.
Because it's motivating. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't let it get out of control.
The good thing is,
I control my control freakness.
But at least you know. I just like when people know their characteristics. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, you don't know that now.
Well, I just put it, I just become the boss of everything. That's all.
The cool thing about being a control freak is you learn a lot of new things because you're like, well, I don't trust this person to do it. So I better figure out how to do it myself.
I just become in charge of everything.
And somebody just asked you, like, you know a lot. How do you know so much? And we used to work with another producer. I said the same thing. And she was, what everybody knew about her was she was a control freak. And I used to wonder, she used to teach herself everything. And what was the motivation? I'm like, you know how to do everything. She said, I just taught myself, because she didn't trust nobody. Yeah. Nobody could touch her stuff. Or
not trusting her people can
her
make
productions.
You
or
Yeah.
Well, so that's a good thing. I don't care about the control. I just don't like details. You know, details bog me down.
Oh,
like,
details.
I'm a very detail-oriented person.
I don't know. I don't know.
Everything has, is there for a reason for me. Like, everything is for a reason.
Details.
Yeah, it's very thing to think for me, where sometimes I'm like, I can't sleep unless something is, like, you know, it's going to drive me crazy. But then there's other things where I'm like, we're just going to see how this one goes. And
I definitely
I'm
have that, too. Well, I'm kind of, like, in the realm of, like, if I'm in charge of it, it's all detailed, and I've, like, gotten a reservation and whatever, and, like, everything is, like, set. And but then if I'm not in charge of it, I'm like, well, nope, I'm completely not in charge of this. So
right, like I always, my fear with, like, because I like being obsessive about things, but then I'm always worried that, like, if it ever gets to the point where it's like I have given up my own freedom to, like, fail at something, that's when I get worried. I'm like, well, you've got to fail sometimes, or else how are you gonna get better?
How are you gonna grow?
I enjoy fucking up, is what I'm saying.
That's healthy.
Yeah. I don't trust anyone, but I also enjoy fucking up.
Yeah. Good. You'll learn then. That's the only way you learn.
Yeah. I also don't mind being like, I fucked up. You know?
See, I've never made a mistake in my entire life, so I cannot relate
to
this.
Caitlin's perfect.
True. No, I almost exclusively mess shit up. So...
fucking up rules.
Okay, so we're going to listen to the Bechdel Cast podcast on Thursdays on iTunes, SoundCloud, and what was the other one?
Libsyn.
Great. Mm-hmm. We loved having you guys on. Do you have any... Oh, wait. What does feminism mean to each of you?
Do you want... I'll go first.
Okay.
And then I'll say something really good. I mean, feminism to me... is just an opportunity to all right, I'm gonna start over. And so
we'll edit
fun,
that out.
Have fun editing this. Do you wanna go first?
Yes.
I'm just like sure. gonna I'm trying to no, think sorry. Of something like really poignant
you.
To say,
yeah.
And
yeah,
it does feel like
mug.
A pressure full of questions.
Whatever you say, I'm gonna put on a mug, no matter how it comes out.
So. Right. Okay. All right. To me, feminism is, well, one, I love it. It's great. I'm glad it's a thing. I mean, we still live in the patriarchy. There's no escaping it yet. But hopefully, feminism will help tear down and smash and dismantle the patriarchy that we're in, because I'm tired of having women being treated like second-class citizens in pretty much every aspect of life. I work in entertainment, so I focus on entertainment things. That's what the podcast, the Bechdel Cast, is all about. But, I mean, feminism to me is just, it's a great thing and a tool to show people what we already should know, which is just that women and men are equal / women are better. All right. The end.
You got it in.
That's going to be a big mug.
That's a good mug.
Yeah. We got to be better. We make them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Feminism, in my experience, has been a really powerful bonding tool and sort of has introduced a language I didn't know existed of like how to talk and relate with other women and feeling less self-conscious and afraid feeling less afraid to have those conversations and just, I don't know, for me, how feminism actively working looks is just being able to do my job without feeling self-conscious about the fact that I'm a woman doing my job and getting to see all my friends work in their various professions and fill their various roles without that self-consciousness too.
That would be a good mug too.
Yeah.
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 Is there anything else that you guys want? Is there anything you want to ask? Is there anything you want to say?
I'm trying to think. So what are you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing a comedy show.
Yeah. Really?
Where? Yeah.
Where is it?
Mine's at the Nerdist School, which is right next to Nerd Melt.
Oh. So what kind of comedy show is it? Just you got like a sketch comedy?
It's a stand-up show where I'm given a topic that the audience comes up with before my set, and then I have like 20 minutes or something to write a set about whatever that topic is. I know. I'm a little terrified. Yeah.
I'm like, also, my mouth is open. Like, that's incredible.
It's going to be terrible. I'm going to be bad.
That's right. But still. I think that's a good place to live.
I love that.
Yeah. Like, that's going to be bad. Like, that's fine.
And hey, I might get a couple new minutes out of it. Yeah. Or it might be shitty. Yeah. Like, but it'll be a fun challenge.
Yeah. Exactly. I just did set list for twice. I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Oh, set list so is a hard fun. Show.
Hard. Yeah. I still didn't know what I did. But yeah. That's like,
I guess it's like a fun challenge. Chill the fuck up. Like,
yeah. That's how we learn, basically.
And that's like cool because that's like a controlled failure
and
too.
Everyone knows like everyone there is like not you know like it's they not know. Like they're on your like, side this is Caitlin's best stuff
right yeah everything's I'm writing this
is
this.
I
she has worked on this for months.
I'm writing my Conan set tonight.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much. That's for having us. This was great.
Yeah, it was so much awesome. Fun. We're I'm gonna keep listening to the Bechdel cast. I love it.
Yay.
I love it. Thank you for your contribution.
Yeah,
feminism.
Of course. Thank you for yours.
Thank you.
Everyone, teamwork. Listen to Act yes. Like a Girl. You already are. Yeah, why I'm plugging your thing for you.
No, keep plugging. Yeah.
Thursdays.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for listening. As always, check us out on Facebook,
Twitter,
Instagram.
Act Like a Girl TV.
.tv.
Dot TV.
That's our website.
That's our website.
Our handle is at Act Like a Girl TV. Please call in and ask us a question so that we can ask our current panelists when you leave the voicemail or text us. It's 424-645-1905. Don't be a dick. It's a Google number. I'll just delete you and block you.
Okay.
you thank have been you warned. Guys for listening. As always, it's been Susie Dunn.
And Tracy Walker.
And we were here with
Caitlin Durante.
And Jamie Loftus.
The women of the Bechdel cast.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.